Father, you're awesome, 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 awesome. We just stand amazed in your presence, Lord. Stand amazed that we can come through that curtain's long ripped up. You shredded on the day of your death. It showed there was nothing there in the temple because we had to turn around and look at the empty tomb instead. So, Father, we thank you. Your beautiful, beautiful, beautiful nature, Father. Awesome creator God. God of the Everest, God of the ladybird, just God of the amazement. We just love you and worship you. Just where you are, just commit yourself afresh to him. Amen. And just open your heart now to the Holy Spirit. Just another page. I fill blank pages every weekend night, ready for Sunday. And it just pours out more and more. 40 years of my life have come and gone. Still loving me, still loving you, still teaching me, I'm still learning, still walking. I love every step of Jesus, don't you? Every breath, every step, every breath, every step. Awesome. Right now, God can heal you emotionally, can heal you physically. Right now, just where you stand, right now, in Jesus' name. If you've got aches and pains, put it, your hand on your heart as a personal place. And just say, Lord, just thank you for your healing. Right now, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your healing. If you need healing, just right now, right now, right now. Why wait to the end? Why carry it another minute? Why carry it another millisecond? He's here. He's here. He's here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome God. Lord, we want to see not just Bryn Mawr shaken. We want to see the valleys shaken. Amen. You want to see these chairs absolutely lined up on the side of this wall, just laid out and filled up in Jesus' name. Not just for numbers' sake, Lord, but for your glory, for your kingdom, to see this town turn around to you, Lord, and our churches and our chapels full again in Jesus' name. Now, hallelujah, just pour down revival upon us. And you don't have to wait for revival. Do you know that? You don't have to wait for revival. Here's a transition for you. Why don't you be a revival? Why don't you be a revival where you are, where you live, in your street, in your house, in your neighbors? You be a revival for them. Amen. You speak. You open up your mouth. You let the love of Jesus come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I had a guy once in a shop and tattoos all over, drunk, earrings. I found out everywhere later. Told me. Used to be in the Cardiff Mafia. And in a moment of time, in about 10 minutes preaching, he gave his heart to Jesus. And I was standing in Lidl's car park and two huge men from the scrapyard went by because when I was a poorer pastor in the early days, I knew more about the scrap man than the car dealer. And they come by, the big muscles, and they said, Dave, are you all right? I said, I'm all right. And they went, and the devil said, there goes your cavalry. And I'm standing there with this huge guy, and he's the oldest cystic fibrosis existing patient in the country now. And he's up in his late 40s, early 50s now, and with one lung. And he used to run shotgun for £1,000 of heroin deals. And we're going to preach, and he said, no one's ever spoken to me about like that. And I said, it's about time somebody did. And he just broke and wept. And a few minutes later, he's kneeling, hiding behind my car. I said, what are you doing down there, Nigel? He said, I got a reputation around here. Amen. And that man gave his life to Jesus. Do you know what? It took maybe 10 minutes from the checkout to the checkout of heaven. Amen. And the transition is letting Jesus come into life. First thing, I better get through this, is I love Stuart to bits. Amen. And he still lays me a bed for the night because we were in Sierra Leone and there was a double bed and one of us had to sleep on the floor. We were there 2 weeks, so he had the double bed and I had the floor the first week. And the second week, he got diarrhea and he had to have the bed again. So I was on the floor for 2 weeks, so he owes me one. But we had an amazing time out there. He's probably told you some of the stories and I hope to go out again. And we had a crusade there, so 963 saved and 6 churches planted off it. It was amazing. So a little boy who was deaf and dumb came up the front, totally healed. And I did the Benny Hinn thing. I said, whispered in his ear, say Jesus. Guess what he said? He went, "Say Jesus." He'd never heard a verb before. Isn't that awesome? He's a loving God. He's an amazing God. I don't know where you stand with the Lord. Who's the lady who's been working out Rasa this week with Love Wales? Who's not there. Okay. Now that's sad. Because Rasa needs Jesus and Marilyn needs a team. But Brimawa needs Jesus. Amen. And can I just say before I start, because I might forget at the end, is I feel the Lord's just saying loyalty and faithfulness. Amen. Loyalty to your church here. You have no idea deep down what it costs a pastor and his wife to up stakes, come over here, plant house, plant church, get this building. Amen. It's not for nothing. Amen, is it? It's for an amazing move of God. And wherever I go as an evangelist, I find pastors in, I just done the crusade in Tonarevel. Good morning, by the way. And six churches came together and they said, "Dave, this is the first time in 10 years and we've been wanting this for ages." Funny enough, during the week, two of them didn't come anymore. Amen, when the other four did. And we saw miracles, people healed, running up and down, shouting, screaming. And a locked arm that had been locked all her life came up above her head. It was an amazing thing. And kids coming in, getting saved before every meeting. I'd suddenly do a little extra meeting, kids getting saved. So exciting, isn't it? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Let's try that again. Thank you, Lee. Lee is there. Yeah, yeah. And do you know what? Your pastor said he's playing guitar. Okay. And it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it lovely to be a Christian? Woo! Isn't it boring not to be a Christian? I read all the Tintin books when I was a kid. Anybody else? You're all square, are you? Okay. And I read all the Tintin books. Tintin in Tibet, Tintin in Under the Sea, Tintin on the Moon, Tintin here, Tintin there. And ever since Unknown Jesus, it's like all over the place. Like Tintin. It's better than Tintin. Amen. I've been in jails. I've been on death row in Sierra Leone. We saw six prisoners. We've seen every woman in the prison got saved. 67 angels came and sung over their heads. It's an incredible thing. And seen the dead raised at one point. He's now a taxi driver down in London. I think sometimes you wish he hadn't been raised from the dead. But amazing things. God does amazing things. With him, nothing is impossible. But somehow we need the Holy Spirit just to touch our lives in such a way that we learn to Galatians 5 and walk in the Spirit instead of walk with the devil most of the week. Some Christians say, "Well, the devil did this and the devil did that and the devil did that." So I wait till they're finished and they say, "What did Jesus do this week?" Why not spend the week with Jesus instead of the devil? Hallelujah. Woo! Isn't that exciting? And it says he was led, Jesus, by the power of the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted, I don't think all 40 days with the devil, just at the end of it. And then he was led by the power of the Spirit out into the ministry. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. He went down into the bank of the Jordan and John baptized him. And can you see the footprints under the water in the sand of Jesus? Gets baptized, stands back up, pushes into the sand under the water. And then can you see his footprints coming out of the water? And he was walking to the cross for 3.5 years. Amen. Every day, every step. What does Jesus say? Pick up your what every day? Pick up your Hillsong CD? No. Pick up your Bethel music? No. Turn on your remote control and listen to a pastor preach in front of 20,000 people. What on earth has that got to do with us, in a sense? Small church is vital. Amen. It's the heartbeat. I've got a little pulse in here and in here and in here and there. And those pulses are amazing. Literally, we've had people collapse on the homeless and we've had to find that little pulse. But out of that little pulse is showing there's life in here. Amen. And the average church size in Wales is 18. Did you know that? 18. And that's not a downer, a smile, because 18 is great in today's world. Amen. Wales, Portugal, and Israel are 1% born again. In fact, the truth is, Wales is about 0.1%. We don't like to say it, but it is. Elvid Godding, head of Evangelical Alliance, used to flee when he sees me coming to ask him. He's gone now, up north. But we want to see church grow in our country. Amen. don't we? Amen. And we've got to be vibrant. We've got to be on fire. So I got a sermon. It's about 3 hours long. And if you're going to worship for 40 minutes, I'm preaching for 40. Amen. So tough. Amen. I haven't come all this way for that. And I hope you'll love me at the end. And it might be the last time you ever see me. I don't know, because I might not get another invite back. But I'll take the risk. Amen. And the risk is I love Stuart to bits. And I love what him and Sarah and the family have done. And awesome. It's lovely to see you lot as well. I know some of you and some of you I don't. Amen. But you'll all know me within about an hour. Amen. Hallelujah. I was an unhappy hippie heading for heroin and hell. I met him. I've been happy ever since. And that was my testimony in 10 seconds. Amen. And I've used it like that in front of people. And we preach on the rugby matches. And on Westgate Street, we stand there by Wetherspoons. You can't see Wetherspoons for people. And from where we stand to the end of the street, because it's got to be about 1,000 yards, and it's full of humanity coming at us, a lot, block and solid. And we have a congregation of 23,000, roughly, for about a minute each for 1 hour. Amen. And it's absolutely awesome. We've done 35,000 tracks this year, and our tracks are very powerful. I want to look, I really feel the Lord is just giving me a message and of a compact deal of the Christian life. Amen. That our model is who? Our model is Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is so amazing. We will spend all our Christian lives examining the Gospels and the Scriptures, isn't it? Amen. I'll find you when you think you've arrived somewhere in Christianity and the kingdom, you think, oh, I got here now. And then you suddenly think, whoa, I'm just at base camp. Amen. I'm just at base camp. There's still another summit. And I was climbing up a Welsh mountain to pray with my wife the other day above Trebanog. And I got to the false top. And then I thought, I'm at the top. No, I wasn't. And then I went to the next ridge. No, I wasn't. And three false tops later, I got to the top of the mountain above Trebanog. And with walking with the Lord, it's just like that, isn't it? Amen. Isn't the journey wonderful? Have you noticed the journey you get scratched? Have you noticed the journey you can slip? Have you noticed the journey you can get attacked? You can get stung. You can get beaten. I've had my arm nearly wrenched out my socket. I've had my glasses whacked off. I'm still here with glasses this morning. Hallelujah. Overweight and happy. Amen. It's exciting to be with Jesus. So exciting to serve him. And the model starts. And we're going to look... We're going to look at quite a few passages, but Luke, we'll go to Luke chapter 4, please. And he's standing there in the synagogue on the Sunday, and he's there in the synagogue on the Sunday. And that's where what he was doing, he was being obedient, because the commandment is to honor your mother and father, honor the Sabbath, love the Lord your God with all your heart, have no other idols. So there he is in the right place on the right day doing the right thing. That's where God wants you and me, doing the right place, the right thing on the right day. Amen? And every day you can do it. Amen? We've got to live more for him than for us. Amen. Hallelujah. And it shouldn't be a stress and a strain. It should get to a lifestyle that you just love going out for Jesus. Amen. When I put the tent down, put it away, give me 24 hours to get my breath back, I want to put it up again. Amen. I want to go to another village. I want to go to another town. Don't you? Amen? Oh, there we are, two of you. But no, I'm joking. But the amazing thing is to get the excitement of God. And I'm an evangelist. I can teach evangelists. My pastor as well. I've got the smallest church in Wales. I'm not kidding you. Amen. There's about five of us at the moment. And I've been going 14 years. And, you know, when I tell people to come out on the streets or ask people to come out on the streets, what are we doing that for? I don't understand that mentality. Amen. Our job is to preach this gospel. How are they ever? This is the safest place in the world to be on a Sunday morning, isn't it? Some churches here, they pick the biggest men for bodyguards on the doors. Have you noticed? Have you noticed? Not here, but Taylor. I'm teasing. But, you know, the amazing thing, you go in somebody and they'll give you the holy handshake and they push you. Have you ever had one of those? Terrible, isn't it? And I want to say that God is working with small churches in a tremendous way, in an awesome way. He is breaking down walls in the UK and Europe and the world that I think is awesome. And do you know there's a massive revival amongst the gypsies? Did you know that? From the top of Europe to the bottom of Portugal, there's gypsies being saved everywhere. Isn't that awesome? It's called Light for Light. Thousands are coming to Jesus. Also, the gangs of gypsies are raising up in Cardiff right now. At the moment, that's another story. our model is to be like Jesus. And here he gets up in verse 18 of Luke 4, we read it. This is the prophecy coming in from years back from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to what? To go to church and sit amongst 20,000 and be unaccountable for your Christian life? No. To preach the what? The good news to the who? The poor. That word doesn't mean you only got a bob or two in your pocket. Some of you don't know what a bob is, but it's to the poor in spirit. Humble, in other words. Listenable. Big ears. God said to Larry Lee, I love you. Like Mickey Mouse. He said, what do you mean? He said, Mickey Mouse has big ears. He listens. As a Christian, and James itself, listen a lot, shut a little bit there. It's hard for an evangelist. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Wow, for prisoners. Walked into a prison cell with Martin Kiddle, and Martin said, you go in there, Dave. Went in. There was a suicide cell, Cardiff, and he sat there in a leather jacket with a leather mattress, no strings, nothing. That he's actually bound up like this in the leather jacket. He's got marks around his neck, and he's just sat cross-legged on the floor like an animal. And the screw said, you got 4 minutes, Pastor. So I went in, I said, got down on my knees beside him, and I said, become all things to all men. I got on my knees beside him and said to him, son, do you know God? He went, ugh. I said, do you read the Bible? He went, ugh. I said, can I pray for you? He went, ugh. I said, I'll take that as a yes. Amen. And I began to pray for him. I said, I had a few minutes. I said, Lord Jesus, just break through here. Show him you're real. Show him your power. Show him your presence. And the screw said, come on, that's enough. And out we had to go. And walked off crying a bit. Prayed for him a couple of days later. Through the days, I should have prayed more. And I'm going through A-Wing 2 weeks later, and a red armband guy pulls me into his cell. I said, I'm a poor student. I said, I ain't got any money. If you're going to ransom me, I ain't got no money. And my mom and dad aren't Christians, so they'd love to have me locked up. So he said, no, do you remember me? I said, no, I don't. I talk to a lot of people in this prison. He said, I was the young guy that you prayed for in that cell. Now, to be red armband in 2 weeks, Derek will tell you, that's a miracle, isn't it? To go from that to red armband is something's happened. Something's happened in his life. And this is what he said to me, and it's blew me away. He said, when you walked out of here after you prayed for me, he said, and that steel door that's 2 inches thick slammed shut. He said, Jesus walked through the wall and stood in front of me. Hallelujah. He said, I give my life to Jesus. I asked him into my heart, and Jesus is now living. He said, "This is. I'm out of here in a few months' time, and I'm never coming back here. And he said, come here. And he took me to the back of the cell and showed me a little picture of angels from Ezekiel chapter 1. Wasn't that amazing? Amen. I'm driving home that day. I said, Lord, that's not fair. How come you walk through his wall, walk through my wall? I'd love to see. Can you imagine doing the washing up, isn't it? Tonight, ladies, and suddenly Jesus appears helping you doing the drying up. That'd be awesome, eh? How about you sitting in a car and suddenly you look in your passenger seat and he's there, sat there. Woo-hoo-hoo! That'd be a bit cool, wouldn't it? Amen? But you know his presence is here in you. From the moment you're born again, he lives in you. And his proclamation, this was the kind of, I say it like this, the warlord of heaven, the king of heaven is now standing with shoes on his feet in the synagogue. And he's giving himself as the model of who we're to be as individual church. Amen. Because the Spirit of the Lord is on you. Turn to your neighbor and say, on you. Hallelujah. Because he has anointed you, say you, to preach the good news. There's a purpose in you being born again. It's not just to live out the Christian life. It's not these loose. It's not to get one of your blessed assurance bottoms on that on a Sunday. That's good. Don't stop doing that in many ways. But it's not. That's not all Christianity. Hallelujah. Christianity is out there. Hallelujah. In the world. Anointed to do that. Hallelujah. So the strength and the love and the power of that person called the Lord Jesus, your Savior and Lord, who lives in you by the Holy Ghost. What a transfer from my sinful nature to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit in you is so powerful that Satan himself trembles because of you. Hallelujah. Satan trembles because of you. Walking into Tesco's and about if you're about to say something about Jesus. Amen. I was standing there in Tesco's at the checkout last winter, and a little lady was stood there with a bag, and she wasn't going home. I knew. She's lonely, probably speaks to no one else in the week. The Lord said, go and ask her this question. So I went over. I said, you're a Baptist, aren't you? I had a word of knowledge. You're a Baptist, aren't you? Yeah. I said, do you know this hymn? And I started gently going, what a friend we share. Of course I do. I know that hymn. I said, come on, let's sing it together. And there's me and this little old biddy singing, what a friend do we have in Jesus at the checkout in Tesco's. Well, the checkout lady started singing. The security man came over. Hallelujah. A couple of others came out the Tesco's line. And started. We had a little group. We should have had the CD. Hallelujah. Sing, what a friend we have in Jesus in the middle of Tesco's. Hallelujah. God is good. God is amazing. Stuart and I were, I think it was with Stuart, we were walking out of the prison in Sierra Leone. We'd seen 67 come to the Lord. I remember all these numbers. And there were seven men on death row. And we'd seen it on the chalkboard. And they get a gallows and they break the neck after 6 months. They have no lawyers, so they're bound to die. Too poor. A little boy had stabbed his dad through a curtain because he grasped on him for heroin dealing, cannabis dealing, and he was 17 years old, all Muslims, with little Muslim caps on. I said to the big guard with the machine gun, I want to speak to these boys. No! I want to speak to these guys. And the Lord said, I didn't tell you to ask him, I told you to tell him, I speak to these boys. All right, Pastor, all right, all right. So he turned around, Stuart's there, and the other brother, and got me a Vanja cube out, began to preach. This little boy was shaking out of presence of God, and they all took their little Muslim hats off, put them in their pocket, and prayed the sinner's prayer. You know, when I go walk to heaven, I'm going to look out for those seven brothers. Amen. I'm going to go and have lunch with them in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. God is exciting, isn't he? Amen. You can have some adventures. You can sit around on your blessed assurance, moaning all week about the Christian life, or you can be a Christian. Woo! You can wait for revival. Or why don't you be a revival? Amen? Why don't you be a revival? Hello? Why don't you be a revival? Amen. And live a revival life. Don't live in the loop and the loop and the gloop all week. Get out and just open your gob and get on. Can I say gob in church? You can get out there for Jesus. Amen. Tell him, as Eric just told his testimony. I took this boy out on the streets, and after a bit, he's now on the PA, preaching on the PA. Hallelujah. It's amazing to share your testimony. His testimony is so powerful, isn't it? He comes off work, off landscaping, and he hasn't got time to change. He comes with his muddy boots and his jeans on Queen Street. And he said, is that all right, Dave? I said, it's fantastic. You know why? There's tons of men with boots and jeans walking down there that need to know Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I've got a quiet little testimony. You know, my wife says that. She it's like being married to Mrs. Jesus, my wife. Amen. She's so holy. She was saved when she was 7 and she's 58 now, you know, and gorgeous. But I tell you what, been married 30 awesome years. Amen. Got 500 kids. I mean, 5 kids. Amen. And you know, the amazing thing is, the Spirit of the Lord is upon my wife. Hallelujah. Why do we go on a car trip and say, Lord, be with me? Where do you think he's going to be? Hello? He lives in you. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I'm in here. I'm in here. How can I fill you more? Just open your mouth and let me out. Hallelujah. It's so crazy. Okay, it's all right to pray for anointing. Some of these things you've got to pray for only if you've been sinful. If you've wandered from the Lord, fill me, anoint me. If you're walking with the Lord, he's filled you, he's anointed, get on with what he's given you. Amen. Some of you look at me like rabbits in a hairline, and you'll never invite me to that. That's all right, I'll preach my last sermon here. But the amazing thing is, you just got to get going for God. Have any of you seen the film Gladiator? How many of you seen Gladiator? Most of us, right. So in the film Gladiator, they're fighting the Germans up in Northern Europe. It happened, the Romans were up there. All that was historical. And there's a huge dry forest, and the Romans come up, and cavalry up, hiding up in this forest. There's another forest where all the enemy are, wicked men with axes and beheading people, and all that stuff. And they get this baluster thing that they just screwed down, so it's really tight, and they put a huge ball on it of fire, and they light it with fire, and they fire it into the dry forest where the enemy is. And as it hits the forest goes, wah! And the enemy goes, ah! Hallelujah. And I was in the cinema in Cardiff, about 200 people, and then I went, hallelujah! The cinema went, blah, 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 blah. Give them some more popcorn. Hallelujah. But, you know, well, I want to tell you folks, that's what we're like. What does it say in the book of James? Don't take it negatively, take it positively as well. A little spark sets on fire. What? A dry forest. Amen. And James is teaching so that we use our words in such a way that they shouldn't be dangerous and horrible and critical and blah, 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 and all that stuff that should have left our lives in the Holy Ghost. But what's the reverse of that? That you send a word of God into someone standing there at a bus stop, someone standing there on the street corner, someone, a mate, a pal, you come on, you know, and just go to them and say, Jesus done this for me, Jesus done this for me, all day long. It's our prerogative. I've just been reading this beautiful book again and again and again by Dr. Campbell Morgan, great, great, great revivalist of the past and a great, great preacher. And our model is, he said, if our model is Jesus, if our aim is identical with that of the Master, it follows necessarily that our methods must be identical too. Amen. Jesus is so beautiful, humble. He is the humility of the earth, isn't he? Amen, of the universe. And he allows himself to be baptized by John, so be it, so you do it for now for D. Then he gets up in the synagogue and he says this. At the moment on the planet at that time, there's just him. Amen. Within a few weeks, he's added 12 to him. One of them is going to get him crucified for 30 bob. And then he trains the 12. Read Luke 9. He sends them out. And they've got the Spirit of the Lord upon them. They're anointed. They come back and say, Lord, even the demons freak out when they see us. Woo! Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? There's a woman, she's in Cardiff, she got 7 demons in her. And when she sees me in the shopping mall, she runs the other way. And I cornered her a couple of years back, and she said, I can hear the demons in her talking. Run away from him, run away from him. And we were in a house and cleaning it from demons. And these demons were appearing all over the house. And the granny had died, and they want to sell the house, this young Christian couple. and they, would you come pray over the house? Of course I will. Went over the house, went in. There was this third woman standing there, and we'll call her Lynn. And as she's standing there, I say, in the name of Jesus, everything that's evil, got to leave this house now, in Jesus' name. And they say, right, come on, we'll go upstairs and pray now. As we went upstairs, this third woman went out the door. Oh, where's she gone? I asked her later. And she said, well, it was amazing, Dave. When you prayed, this has taught me my authority in Christ and your authority in Christ. He said, Luke 10:19, I have given you power and authority, listen, to trample upon snakes and upon scorpions so that you have power over all things that come against you. Isn't that amazing? All. I like that word in there. That's nice. From a headache to a demon-possessed person. Amen. From a sickness and I got pain in my joint. Why? Slap it. Tell it to go. Woo! Hallelujah. Don't put, well, I'll go and see the doctor and take a few tablets and then I'll try what Jesus says. I'd do it the other way. It's cheaper. Hallelujah. And live with a healthy body. Amen. Hallelujah. Get rid of sickness and disease. I haven't had a headache for 30 years. Come on. Woo! Isn't that, oh, how can that be? Well, you ask the Bible. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. You're going to live like that? It's your choice. It's my choice. It's my choice or your choice to preach this gospel or not. And when we begin to preach this gospel, everything falls into place. Amen. The way he'll supply your needs. Oh, don't get me down there. Because, you know, people are being, I want a big house, I want a big car. Well, are you using the old house and the old car for Jesus now? Amen. Why would he give you a bigger one and a better one if you're not using the house you've got and the things you've got for the Lord now? We've got to learn these traits, we've got to learn these things. Amen. I've just been up with Dave and Di Sampson Friday night. I love that couple. They got MBE. I said to Dinah, she's tiny now, little Dinah. And she's beautiful, she's beautiful. I love that couple to bits. And they let me preach privilege in front of 12 of the lads there Friday night. And Diane, I said, Diane, how many boys have you seen through? She said, 7,000. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And God's given them a beautiful house. Up that house, do you know that mountain, what's it called, opposite Abergavenny? No, the other one. Sugarloaf. Do you know that all creatures great and the purple-headed mountain, that's the Sugarloaf. Did you know that? That's the Sugarloaf. She flipping sat there and wrote the hymn looking at the Sugarloaf. Amen. I thought it was English because I'm English. English, Irish, Welsh heart transplant. But you know, the amazing thing is God is so good. God is so amazing. So I've got to speed up because I've got hours here. But the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's the model. He's the model. And then he begins to teach them. He begins to teach them to do stuff that human beings don't normally do, like raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out demons, see the leper. Can you imagine the lepers being healed by Thomas? And James says to Thomas, do you think his fingers were back, Thomas? Because I don't think so. And no, I'm joking about Thomas. But because Thomas, he got to India and set the gospel going there. And do you know, without Ryanair, how did Thomas get to India without Ryanair? I don't know, and start a church. I'm so with a pastor, Indian pastor. I'm with an Indian pastor in a car in Cardiff 5 years ago. And he said, I said, Pastor, who started the church? And they always go like this, isn't it? I love it. They go, oh, Brother Thomas, Brother Thomas. I said, Thomas who? I don't know, Brother Thomas. Thomas! He wouldn't call him Doubting Thomas. He was crucified on a tree, Thomas. And for 2,000 years, each generation have been born again up through into India. Amen. Facing tremendous persecution right now. This model is fantastic. He goes from himself to the 12. Luke 9, you can read it. We won't because of time. And then in Luke 10, it's amazing. He quadruples, sevens it up, and he sends out 72. Hallelujah. He sends out 72, and they come back with the same testimony. I wonder, of the 120, how many of the 72 were in the upper room? Amen? I wonder. Have you been to the upper room yet? Hello, don't look at me like that, please. Have you been to the upper room? Have you had your Pentecost? Amen? Have you had your Pentecost? Well, look happy about it. You know, hallelujah. It flipping changed me. I was in the middle of a room of unbelievers. I got baptized, not in church, in the middle of a classroom with 30 atheists in there. And I got baptized and the Holy Ghost, whoa, you've got higher, whoa, what's this, Lord? In Brighton, it was amazing. And I had a biker friend saying, Dave, are you all right? You're going to one of your Christian meetings tonight. I said, hang on, Andy, I'll be with you in a minute. It's amazing, isn't it? Or some of you look at me like rabbits in headlights. Honestly, now, come on, folks. It's exciting to be on fire for God. Amen. And the suffering with it. Well, I don't like the suffering. Well, then you're going to end up as a sort of Sunday-only chair Christian. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? You are. You're going to be a bum on there. Did I say bum? Sorry. But, do you know, that's not what it's about, is it? The lost aren't in here this morning. They're in the pubs. They're in the clubs. Amen. I have church at 3:30. The Lord said, don't have it in the morning. They're all in bed asleep. Of course they are. They're all sleeping off. They're over, you know, they're drinking and all the rest of it, and the booze and all the rest of it. I've had church at 3:30 for 15 years, hoping that people will come when they climb out of bed. Amen. Oh, I'm getting excited. Sorry. Honey, I'm not really sorry. So number one, Jesus. Number two, 12. Next day, 72 of them. And then he goes to the cross. He goes to the cross. Amazing. And pays the price to bring it in. And I love it. Do you know John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 19 is all in the upper room. Did you know that? One third of it, of John's gospel, is in the upper room. Isn't that amazing? Most of it is in the last few weeks of his life. And that's why it's so vital to get that embedded into us. And he says these amazing words. The Holy Spirit, he's with you now, but later, what? Hello? He shall be where? In you. Did you get that? Do you live that? If you get it, did you live it? If you know it, do you live it? Do I live it? Amen. I'm not perfect. Ask my wife. That's why she's not here this way. No, I'm joking. But I like to say, it's like, I didn't get away with a thing at home. Amen. You can't say that about that, Dave. All right, calm down. Hallelujah. He's in you.
How long do you want to live?
Well, I want to check out. I'm older now. And I find most people over 65, I'm not, you know, I don't know you all that deep, but most over 65, they go, the Lord's coming soon. I want to be raptured. Oh, you lazy lump. You just want to get up and out. Away from it all, you naughty thing. What are you up to? You trying to check out, you rabbit? Come on. What's the matter with us? We're like a bunch of weasels, aren't we? Have you ever seen Toad and Toadhole? They've all got these weasels. They've all got their own little plan. When you come to church, do you weasel or are you wise? That comes straight off the press. Hallelujah. But when we come to church, we come to serve the leadership vision of God himself. Amen. When you come up those stairs into this room for a meeting, you're meeting with the purpose of God for your individual life. Amen. Great you're up on the stage doing the worship, isn't it? Smile a bit more and worship. It's wonderful. You've got a lovely voice. Just, and Trish, do you know what? Amazing. There are jobs and purposes in this fellowship that each of you need for each other. Amen. And guess who needs it most? Stuart. Amen. So he can sleep at night. Hello. Amen. When you go up to him all week for a month and say, Stu, is there anything I can do for you? You'll make him faint. No, you won't. He's a lovely guy. Do you know what? And the leadership here. I'm first in and last out in my church. I lay the chairs out. I put the chairs away with there. And no matter if we have 20 or 5. And you know, I don't mind doing that. I've been doing that a long time. But it'd be so nice to have people that come in and say, is there anything? We got a little girl that's just joined the church. I love her to bits. She come in and I'm sweating away, putting things up, setting up. And she goes, Pastor Dave, is there anything I can do? I nearly fell over. I nearly broke out crying. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What to do is to preach this gospel. He's equipped you so amazingly, isn't it? I'm standing in Morrison's petrol station, and there's a young policeman standing there. And I said to him, excuse me, I'm a pastor of a church, and I'm a preacher, and I'm an evangelist. I said, could you tell me what you've got on? And he said, well, I've got these special boots I can run in. They've got steel toe cap, protect my foot. He said, I've got a stab-proof jacket. He said, I've got a video camera that's watching you right now and recording you. And he said, I've got this pull-out truncheon in my pocket. I've got this spray peppering thing. I've got a pair of arresting handcuffs. Man, they're equipped, aren't they? Amen. Don't they need to be? Isn't that sad? Don't they need to be? Don't they need to be in our society? That poor policeman that was dragged under that car, murdered a few days back. Oh, my goodness. We got to pray for our police. But this guy's a really quick. I said, excuse me, could you sometime connect up with me? And I'd love to have you up in the church and just stand there. And I want to preach on the armor of God. And he gave me a big cheesy grin. He said, I am a Christian. And I preached that in the Bible study with All Nations Church last night. I thought, how wonderful is that? Amen. And I thought, wow, amen. Now, come on, what have you got? Oh, here we go. What have you got? What have you got? Come on, let's go now. And I'm going to jump in. Well, just before we do that, we're going to, if I got it there, we're going to look at John the Baptist. And he comes up in Luke 4, Matthew 11. Don't go there, I'll read it out. And he gets a little bit quibbled because he's in prison, and he's been in prison for righteousness, for telling Herod off and all the rest of it. And right, here he goes. So he sends his disciples, who are not in prison, obviously, to Jesus. And I bet some of them are in the upper room and at the foot of the cross later on. And he says, go and ask him, are you the one? And Jesus says this to them, look, go back and report to John what you hear and see. Wow. I remember in Sierra Leone, the first night after preaching on the stage, and over 60 came forward the first night, I was crying my eyes out for sheer amazement and joy. Jumped off the stage, nearly fell off it. I fell off it when I got on it. That's another story. I said, Pastor Dave Pritchard from Wales. I've been waiting and waiting to preach. And I ran across stage, slipped and fell off. Amen. And it's as high as that platform, higher than this, higher as that board. And there's no dignity trying to get back up 4 foot. You know, they had to hoik me back on the stage.
preached my socks off, 60 came forward, whatever. And then suddenly, holy bedlam works out all over the football pitch. Demons being cast out, bodies being straightened, kids being straightened. It got so dark, all you could feel is this little black curly hair underneath your hands. It's so beautiful, honestly now. And then this one boy, I'm a witch doctor's son, pray for me, full of demons. He went down, bang on the floor, on the sand. And the moon is up, and we have a little bit of light from the stage, not much of a generator. And he didn't move. He's just lying there like that. I thought, I've killed him. Oh, I'm in trouble. And the devil said, yeah, see the newspaper. English pastor kills witch doctor's son. And I thought, oh, here we go. And I said, Jesus, and nothing out. Jesus, nothing out. Jesus, and nothing out. I thought, oh, here we go. First aid. So I got my hat. I was going to give him a heart thumb. And I was just going, just like that. And he woke up. He went, oh, hallelujah. I went, hallelujah. He got up. He said, oh, that was wonderful. Where I've been, I'm free. He was 23, and all those demons had left him in Jesus' name. Amen. And that night was just like that. What you hear and see, all over the pitch, there were cries and shrieks of joy and amazement and wonder, demons being cast out, lives being changed. It was like, I was casting a demon out of a guy at 1 o'clock in the morning in Queen Street. He's a deacon in one of the big churches now. It's so funny. They don't know this. But he was living a horrible, sordid life. And I laid hands on him. And this demon said, yeah. I'm going, oh, Lord, they're going to arrest me now. It's all on camera. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's dark. And the Lord said, look around, Dave. And all around the Queen Street, drunk, shouting and yelling, he said, they don't know the difference. And the demon came out of that boy. He's now a deacon in one of the senior churches, bigger churches in the city. I could tell you his name and number, but I won't. But amazing things. Amen. What you see and what you hear, go back and say, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Like in the tent 2 weeks ago, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. Good news is preached to the poor. About 6-7 things, study them, amen. You should be involved in every one of those at some point in your life, if not weekly, if not daily, if not monthly, amen. Hallelujah. You didn't join up. My dad was in the army, SAS colonel, so you can see where some of my stuff come from, isn't it? And I grew a hippie haircut to run away from the army. He was selector at Sandhurst. He cheated and told me how to do the assault course and get on. He wanted me in the army, and I ran away, became a hippie, got saved. Amen. I thought I've escaped the army, and the Lord said, you're in my army now. I said, what am I? He said, you're like a little sort of second-hand sergeant. Amen. And I was in a dream. I was there in a Roman thing with all the shields like this, and the enemy was coming up, and I was in the corner in the dream, and all the soldiers, the Christians, were there, and the shields began to shake and rattle in the dream, and it wasn't boldness, it was fear. And I was there, the old sergeant with scars all over me, going, come on, boys, you're all right, you're all right, you're all right. Do you know, the longer you walk in the Lord, that's what we got to be. We got to be fathers to the younger people. Amen. And you can be a father like Timothy when you're young. Amen. Don't be ashamed of your youth. Get on with preaching the gospel, Timothy, says Paul. Amen. And he's in prison, and Timothy goes to martyrdom as well later. Do you know, there's new life on planet Earth when the kingdom started, isn't there? Amen. But it's his planet. He had an Adam. He lost Adam. Now he's got another race called us, called the church. Amen. And the church is meant to be. You know, Adam never had an Eve. They never had a headache. Do you know that? They never had arthritis. They never had sickness. They didn't have an argument, I bet, either. Amen. Until the fall. All the married ones laugh then. But until the fall. When the fall came, he lost his race of people. So he comes to die on the cross to give us his race of people. Now, that's the church. It's being a Christian. Amen. A Christian, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay, let's move on a little bit more. This amazing thing, new life on planet Earth, and the force is here to be with you. Amen. They were obedient going out. And when you're obedient, you always get blessed. Did you know that? There's a book by Andrew Murray. I've never read it because George Fowler said, if the cover tells you the book, just read the cover. And it says, obedience always brings blessings. So I never had to read the book. I just found the message. Amen. Have you noticed when you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, amazing things happen? When you lay hands on that old granny over there. Why? Oh, what are you going to do when you have got a why? Amen. Just jump across and do it. Amen. Hallelujah. you'll have a testimony, and on that another testimony, and that will lead to another testimony, and that your faith is growing. Amen. Come back from the farm, and they give me the most fantastic chicken eggs I've ever seen in my life. I had an egg yolk about this big last night's sandwich for all their free-range chickens, you know, because when you get something free, and set it free, it's happy, isn't it? So the chicken, whoop, lays a nice egg. And when we're born again, we should be laying nice eggs. Amen? Amen? Amen. Bad illustration maybe, but we're meant to be out there serving God, seeing fruit coming in that God wants on his planet. He doesn't want it sick and sad and lost. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but what? That how many? That all should come to what? A knowledge of the truth. How are they ever going to hear the truth if you run from church to church? You run away from here, where are you going? I'll go to another church. Do you know what's happening in you? You're being disobedient to that sinful bit in you. Because as soon as the pastor and the Holy Spirit begins to move on it and help you change that lack of discipline and change that sinful bit in your life, I'm leaving, I'll go to another church. And you'll be there 18 months, 10 months, whatever, until it happens again. I had a woman come to me yesterday, a Christian. She said, I've been in 5 churches. I thought, oh, here we go. What good is that? Imagine if my kids said, right, I'm going to live next door tomorrow. I'd just disappear. Mum, Dad, I'm going in with those Romanians. And you know they get drunk every Saturday. I'm going in with them. They got a spare room. Oh, yeah, bye, Ben. Off you go. Happy days. Not a chance. Not a chance. Amen. I'm a papa, and I love my kids. I want them to serve God. And the Papa Father, Abba Father wants us to serve him and get the... Once you begin to do this stuff, you'll see things begin to happen. You're like, you can't believe it. You can't believe what he does. I'm there lying in bed. The lights are off. I just put my Bible down. I've been divorced. My heart has been healed by Jesus, and I'm praying for my godless family. My mum and dad are in bed. My brother's down the caravan where he's been sleeping with a girl secretly. We knew about it. And that day she'd gone off and aborted his baby. He came back to the caravan, cut up with her, broke up with her, and took Valium, whiskey, cider, everything in the caravan. He comes up the stairs. I thought it was my dad coming back from SAS night shift, or he's to parachute tonight. And he knocks on my door, opens my door like this, and 5 minutes before, the Lord said, get out and pray for Sean. I'm lying on my face to the carpet praying for Sean. I don't know what's wrong with him. There's a curtain of grace God puts around us sometimes. We want to know all the dirty details, but he won't. Thank God for grace. But I knew he's in trouble. Suddenly the knock on the door, he opens it. He puts the light on. Imagine the scene. He's standing there like a zombie, tanked up with poison, and I'm lying on the floor looking up at him, and I'm thinking, he said, Dave, I'm terrified. He hadn't spoken to me for 4 months because of anti-Christian attitude in his heart, anti-God. He said, I'm terrified, I'm going to die, help me. I grabbed him like this, his body was comatosing, put him on the bed like that, and my mother had come out by now of her room, and she'd just been born again by about 6 months. And my dad, he's still not born again to his deathbed. That's a beautiful story. And he comes in round the corner, and my mum and I are kneeling by my brother's body. He eventually just dies. No pulse here. Put a tissue in front of his mouth, no breath. Put my ear down to his chest, no heartbeat, nothing. And I've been trained in first aid, so I know those things. Did it real quick. And he's lying there, and he's just dead on the bed. And my dad, SAS Colonel, leans around and goes, you pray! Hallelujah. God leaves everything, isn't it? He's an unsaved colonel. And so, yes, sir, I was going to pray anyway. I was praying in my own way. And the Lord said, pray like this. He said, bind the spirit. I bind you, spirit of death. Bind it again. In the name of Jesus, I bind you, spirit of death. Tell him I love him. Jesus, I'm speaking to a corpse. Jesus loves you. And then he says, tell him his mum loves you. Tell him you love him. I thought, hang on a minute, Lord. he threatened to beat me up last week. And he ran out. He said, I'm going to smash you. And he ran out. God, fear of God came on. He ran out of the kitchen. He was going to beat the hell out of me. And I said, I love you. He said, tell him I love him again. Jesus loves you. Bind that spirit of death 6-7 times. Spirit of death, leave! And on the 7th time, wow, the power of God hit that corpse of my brother. And he just went, whoa! He's up and about. Amen. Absolutely amazing. They pulled they took him to hospital. He pulled all the stuff out of his arms, all the adrenaline stuff, hitchhiked home. And 3 weeks later, got saved in a potato barn meeting that George and Pamela Johnson used to run in Hereford. Amazing. Got saved by a lovely Irish pastor, David Greenow. Amazing. Son, you need Christ in your life. I do. Hallelujah. Do you know it's amazing, this transformation? Do you think, can you just show me your hands for a minute? Come on, just for tease here. Come on, show me your hands, please, just for a minute. Come on. It's not that bad. It's all right. I'm not going to take your hands. They're yours. Guess what these things have become? Healing machines for Jesus. Healing machines for Jesus. Come on, let's get them higher. Now just say this, Lord Jesus, your word says, I shall lay these hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Therefore, I have a new duty with my hands all the rest of my life. These are hands to lay on the sick. I will lay them on. I can't heal them, but you will. Thank you, Jesus. Use my hands. Amen. There we are. That changed you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I sneak up to people who are disabled and I touch them. I'm in checkout or in the Queen Street. I kick their wheelchair. Hallelujah. I did it to Pat Shields for ages in the King's Church. I said, Lord, I want to be friends with this man. Friends with this man. Friends with this man. He was like a dad to me before he did all our printing for 7 years in the church. Amen. He was like a papa to me. Amen. We have an amazing thing. I'm going to wind in a minute. Can we just go into Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3? We'll do all of them. No, just very quickly then. Let's go into Acts and have a look at what happened to this one guy, Peter, and John. And let's just recap briefly as far as we know. He was picked up by Jesus. They were, you're going to fish not for fish anymore, you're going to fish for men. Well, how do I do that? Have I got a special hook? Yeah, it's called love. Oh, who's love, Lord? My love. Isn't it funny? Can I borrow you for a minute, Lee? And you've been fishing all night, you're Peter, you go out and catch some fish. You go out, throw the net over the right side. Oh, over you go, throw the net. Come out, wow, look at this net. Best catch I've ever had. Mum, my wife's going to be pleased with me now. The bank account's going to be full. Come back. And he runs up to Jesus, and he goes, well, you be the Jesus for a minute, and I'll be Peter the other way. And Peter goes, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He's holding on to Jesus as hard as he can. Lord, depart from me. He cannot depart from Jesus once you're connected.
That's right.
Thank you so much. You see the amazing thing? He didn't understand it. We don't understand it. We don't understand why some people don't get healed. I don't care anymore whether I don't understand. I'm going to go on praying for them. Hallelujah. The first one I prayed for died. She had bad psoriasis of the fingers. She was an organist. I crept around the church. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, what? She was a bit deaf. I said, oh, do you have to be so noisy? Can I pray for your hands? Prayed for her hands. The pastor rang me out 3 days. She died. I thought, oh, great. The devil said, see, I told you. And I'm working on a turkey farm outside Brecon. I don't know if you've heard my story. And they had a big stag turkey and the cannibals, and he'd been cut in the night. He was covered in blood. Manager said, ring its neck, take its name tag number, put it on the shelf, go and ring its neck. I thought, I'm not ringing its neck. I just read the book of James last night. It said, if anyone is sick, he should call the elders of the church. I thought, well, I'm older than the turkey. Hello? It says he should cast out the prayer of the sick and anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. I thought, all right, well, he's sick and I'm older, and here's some grease off the axle stand and put it on the turkey's head. I did, I promise you. I put it on this turkey's head covered in blood and caked and no feathers and looks, you know, ready for the knacker's yard and the incinerator. And I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And I ran out in my green wellies. I forgot about him. And a week later, about 4 days later, the senior manager, Sun Valley, came in his white overalls, green boots. And he said, why is this beautiful turkey not got a name tag on it. I thought, that's the one. So that night, I'm running up and down in the field in the moonlight. I mean, they must have thought I was a Satanist, but I'm a Christian. I was rejoicing. I go, Jesus, you healed a turkey. Jesus, you healed a turkey. Jesus, you've healed a turkey. Shalom, cool. And the Lord, when I go, did he do this to you? He does it to me. When I calm down, he can speak to me. And I calm down. He said, can I speak to you now? There we go. Thank you, Lord. He said, if I can heal an animal like that, how much more will I heal those made in my image? The next one was my first wife, who was pregnant with our baby girl, and she had a cancer under her arm about the size of a tennis ball and half a tennis ball. And she went into just up the road here. It's a maternity ward now, it's a cancer ward then. And I prayed for her through the night, and my marriage has broken down, so it's only allowed to have a finger on her shoulder while she was asleep. She didn't know. And about 2:30, I'd been praying in tongues. Do you pray in tongues? If you don't, come and get it before you go home today. It's easy. Oh, it's important to have tongues. Don't be condemned if you don't. It's awesome. It's only the enemy keep you back sometimes. That's another teach. But you know, the amazing thing is, I prayed in tongues to 2:15, and the Lord said, you can go to sleep, Dave. I've done it now. And I knew he'd healed her. And the lump was still there visibly, but in the morning, can I come with you? All right, then. So can I come in with you to see that? No, you sit there. So I sat in the waiting room. And after 3 minutes, she comes back out. She says, you'll never guess what, the lump's gone, I'm healed. I said, I know, Jesus healed you last night. And she divorced me 2 months later. I was married to Cruella de Vil, now married to the Sleeping Beauty for 30 years. but that taught me something, because had she chemo, I'd have lost a child. I have a 30-year-old child that won't speak to me because she's been Antichrist poisoned against us. And the Lord said, when she's older, she'll come back. I'm waiting for my daughter to come back. Is that suffering? Yeah. Does that hurt? Yeah. Am I, have I run away from Jesus because of it? No. Who else is going to help me see my daughter? Some philosopher? Do you know, it's amazing how he chooses us. When he chooses us, and he chooses the weak and foolish and despised things of the world. Any of you in here? I've got both hands up. I didn't choose you. You chose me. Oh, I'll put my hand up for Jesus. Yeah, big thing, sausage. But do you know, at the end of the day, he egged you and pulled you and chose you. And then you recognized it and got to, and realized you are now chosen, accepted, seated in heaven. 27 things in Acts 1. Amazing, awesome. And he says, not many of you were wise by human standards, not many influential. And we always look at a person that's full of extrovert and full of loud mouth like me and all the rest of it, and they go, oh, they'd make a great Christian. They can make a crummy Christian sometimes. I've been in the ministry 40 years, amen. Sometimes it's the quiet little person that's got such a low ego and self-esteem when they get, before they get saved, that God uses in a mighty way, amen. The deacon said to William Carey, you'll never amount to anything. Sit down about India. What do you know? Carey went to India, translated the Bible into 12 languages, made a printing press with lead letters. I used to do this when I was a kid. And one day they set fire to it. They're just about to print their first Bible. He started again and did it again. And he's sitting there, this old guy just was a shoemaker, and he's sitting there with all these Indian dignitaries, having planted churches all over India, beginning a work for Jesus. And the big ambassador leaned over and said, well, I heard that you were a shoemaker. He said, sir, no, just a simple cobbler. Hallelujah. And you may feel like a simple cobbler. You may be in that category in your heart, in your mind, that you are potential for the kingdom that he's chosen. Isn't that beautiful? You are potential sat here today. There's nothing in you that is a neggy-neggy that he can't change into a posy-posy for him, isn't it? If you'll let him, amen? But don't go round and round and round and round. Oh, years long, 10 years long, I've got this issue. Get rid of it! Woo! Just get it. Buried, get an axe and cut it off. Hallelujah. The other side of that obedience is blessing. Okay, come on, Acts chapter 1. Here's the promise. Can I be 5 minutes? Sorry. He didn't say yes, he didn't say no. So let's go for it, Dave. Hallelujah. Amen. And amen. Do you know the amazing thing is that in Acts chapter 1, you have the promise given. What's the promise in Acts chapter 1? Do not go out from Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. Don't start the job of being a disciple maker until the disciple maker comes and lives in power in you. They are already born again. They're already born again. Well done. Good to see you, Simon. They're already born again. They already are indwelt by the Spirit of God. But God says there's more to come. Here's one of my sermons in about 2 minutes. Are you firing on all four cylinders? One of my car blew up, it was firing on three. Went up in a pile of smoke one day, a guy with a knife and a garlic sausage comes out the rain. He says, Dave, will you open my garlic sausage? I said, not now, Terry, I'm busy. My car was smoking, took it to the garage, said, do you, Pastor, have you been going? He said, yeah, real slow up the hills. You've been firing on three cylinders. This is a four-cylinder car. Here are four cylinders, very quick to the Christian life. Number one, born again. Woo! Number two, after a bit of arguing, haranguing, baptized in water. Don't harangue over it. How many of you not baptized? Anybody here not baptized? Whoa, you should get baptized. The next stage is this. Are you baptized in the Holy Spirit? Wow, that's cylinder number three. What's the point of one, two, and three without cylinder four? Cylinder four is service. Wow. Now, some Christians... This is the truth. I've been pastoring a long time, 40 years. Oh, I don't know about this. Born again, then get born again. Oh, I don't know, Pastor, if I get baptized in water. Okay, let me have it. You have a cream tea and you have the creme de la creme for about 5 days, and then the next Sunday you're down because they're not paying any attention to you. Pride, amen, isn't it? Lack of humility. And number three, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Whole churches have been split over this. Why did he say it if we don't need it? Hello? Why did he promise it if it's not wanted and needed? Where? For us, yes, and also for the world. Amen. If I didn't speak in tongues, I'd be dead a long time ago. I've had so much pressures for doing the job I do as an evangelist. Whoa, you, stories there. But you know, the amazing thing, I just burst in. Humbashi, hadabaso, hundakasha, I bind you devil in the name of Jesus. So the baptism and the power and the tongues, whoa. And then service. And sometimes they get here and there's only one thing left to do. They're so old, they've fought in those three things all their lives. They've wasted their life on earth for Jesus. Sad, isn't it? Amen? Amen? We have this treasure in where? A broken vessel. Amen. We'll make some big holes in it so that glory can come out in all directions. Amen? Smash the whole vessel if possible. Amen. Live with the treasure and not with just the vessel in bits. Come on. Hallelujah, isn't exciting? So here's the promise, Acts 1. Don't go out. Promise. Did he receive the promise? Come on, Acts number 2. Acts number 2. Acts number 2. They came. It came. It came. It came. Every fire for just the 12 apostles. No, for every one of them. I bet there were kids in that 120, do you? Can you see a little six-year-old? Heidi Baker has kids 7 or 8 years old raising the dead in Mozambique. Woo! That would freak Bryn Mawr out, wouldn't it? Oh, Jesus. You know, Pastor Ulf Ekman took a whole pile of his old grannies in the church and granddads in their 60s, the pensioners, to Russia on mission. They're all standing around the body of Lenin. He said, don't raise him from the dead. Hallelujah. They went into a hospital and said, can we pray? And they prayed for everybody on the second floor. And the minister of the hospital rang up the next day and said, can you come back? We have hardly any resources or money. All floor two have gone home. Come and pray for floor one and three. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Woo! Come on. It's exciting. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. You've got to get out there and amen out there and do this stuff that's so, so dynamic. Acts number one, the promise promised. Acts number two, the promise given. And they don't have a blue plaque up there saying, and Peter living there thinking, I was here on the day. I remember when the fire come through the ceiling. And I remember James going, well, look at the fire on my head. Stupid, isn't it? They ran out, down the steps, burst out. And he said, he preached, and with this, and here's those who love short sermons. It says, for this and with many other words, he preached unto them. And by the end of the afternoon, watch this. They got born again, baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit in one afternoon. Come on. I got a lovely book by a man called Edersheim. He's a Jewish messianic guy and great, great, great Christian historian. He's with the Lord now, but his books are awesome. He reckons, and this blew me away, that the population of Jerusalem about that time would have been about 2.5 million. Wow. That's a bit bigger than Brumbau and Cardiff, isn't it? And out of that 2.5 million, they reckon that a third of the city, anything up between 30 to 40,000 after the 2000, 120 upper room, 3,000 later on, a few days later another 2,000, that's 5,120. And then it just grew and grew and grew until Stephen's martyrdom. And then it says in Scripture, it says that the persecution came and they were scattered all over the place. And then it says these beautiful words, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. Can you imagine what God was doing? 30,000 is the estimation. Christians go wham, all over Asia and over Europe. Do you know we got Nigerians here? Do you know we got Koreans here now? I know a lot of these leaders, very precious people. They get up at 5:30, the Koreans, and pray every day. Awesome stuff. Pastor G filled the St. David's Hall last year. Lovely people. They come to Wales to bring back the fire the other way round. You got the promise. The promise came. And then the purpose of the promise in action. Amen. This is my sermon. I was about to preach it, but this is the sermon. He goes like this. He's walked on the day Peter going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 in the afternoon, a man crippled from birth was carried to the temple to the gate beautiful, where he's put every day. Jesus had walked past him hundreds of times. He leaves some stuff that he could have done to you on purpose, so you'd be like Jesus to them. Isn't that beautiful? What do you think they're going to be like? They'll be like Jesus to other people. Amen? Woo! Come on. Here we are. Peter looked in there and said, look on us. Whoa, that got his attention. So the man gave him attention and get something. And Peter said, silver or gold do I do not have. I'm an evangelist. No, I'm joking. All right, silver and gold I don't have at the moment. Maybe he's put his tithe in. There are 5 boxes of tithes outside that temple. It's another story. That's amazing, the giving. So when that little woman put in a mite and didn't have anything else for the other boxes, he said, this woman, wow, note her. I give you. But he says this, what I have, I give to you. Let's say it together. What I have, I give to you. Now turn to your neighbor and say it. What I have, I give to you. Another other neighbor. What I have, I give to you. What I have, I give to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! What do you have? Oh. Very quickly, you got the power of the Spirit. You got the anointing of love. Mother Teresa said, a smile is the beginning of love. I love that. Have you ever had a gang come up your street? And they're coming out, and they go, you're passing in the car, they go, like this. Like, you know what I do? After I read that, I started smiling at them. It freaks them out. They don't know what to do. They're expecting me to go, I smile at them. Hiya. They go, you go, Jesus. They go, hallelujah. You got the power of love in you. You got the power to heal the sick. You got the power to raise the dead. You got the power to see cancers go. I should have been dead twice in the last 5 years. 3 blood clots. One will kill you. I wish I could tell you the story. I went to India, had a blood clot. My leg was strapped up here. I come back from Poland with my leg up here. Blood clot coming in. No, Spain, and the pastor picking us up at the airport said, I say, I'm in a wheelchair, my leg's strapped up from heel to toe. And he said, we've had a great mission. We've seen a girl healed and running up and down. We've seen so many saved, churches growing. Whoa, it's been amazing. He said, Dave, I'll be healed, don't worry. And a week later, I was flying higher at 40,000 to India, first time to India. And I went to see a pastor down City Temple I love, who's a doctor. I said, Dr. So-and-so, will I be all right? He said, I wouldn't go if I were you. I said, what? So I went anyway. I got on the plane. I just had an extra strap under my trousers like that. And when I was coming down the steps in India, the last three steps, the Lord said, jump. So I jumped off the last three steps, hit the tarmac on my knees, and said, Jesus, healed. I got totally healed of that blood clot. Amen. And we saw hundreds come to Jesus. Amen. I said to the van driver, slow down, there's some dogs crossing the road. He said, it's monkeys, Dave. Wow. I had a great week. I can't tell you all of it. It's too much time. The promise is in action all the time. And after many years abroad, I've been back in Wales for 10 years. And the Lord said, Wales, Wales, Wales. Amen. This country needs you. It needs you. It needs you. It really does need you. Full of the power of the Spirit. It needs us to step out of our straitjackets, out of our protocols and church, blah, 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 some of it, isn't it? We have such a religious system in church, don't we? All right, don't say that. Yeah, I'm on record. But, you know, we have such protocol in church sometimes. Sometimes we've got to break of that. Amen. Why not have church outside? You do probably. Just now and again, amen. Let them see you worshiping. Let them hear you singing. I've been outside your cinema about 10 times in my teams. Amen. I'm shouting there on the PA and singing and winding everybody up on purpose in a loving way. They come over, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah. I don't believe. Why not? Because. And they pour out. You just wait with big ears listening. And when they finish, say, I was just like you, but. And preach your testimony, preach your gospel. Amen. And you see people born again. It's just beautiful. Amen. Whew. Amen. Promise given. Promise, promise. Promise given. Promise purposed. Amen. What are we doing? With the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit, don't you? Come on, let's just stand quietly. Thank you so much for your time. I've probably gone into... I was preaching once in London in a cellar church. And we started at 11 o'clock. The pastor finally came up to me when we were ministering. He said, Dave, do you know it's 2 o'clock? I think you need to go back to Wales. And it went on 3 or 4 hours in that cellar. Because God just wanted to break out. I believe if you have a need today, can we just pray for you? I have the privilege of praying for you. It's just a beautiful thing. If you have sickness, disease, depression, loneliness, you just want to get empowered with the gospel afresh. Or maybe just where you're standing, you're going to say, I'm going to use what I've been given. And it's not a person. It's not a thing. It's a person. And he is beautiful. And as you honor the Holy Spirit, just say, Lord, just fill my life. I'm just going to double check because I don't know you all. If you don't know him, maybe you're just churching at the moment. That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you for coming. But if tonight was your night of reckoning with God, are you right? And like they say from my mother's country, to be sure, to be sure. Are you right with Jesus? Do you know this lovely Jesus? Do you really, really know him? And here's a little prayer to make sure, young or old, it doesn't matter. Perhaps you feel a bit backslid, and sometimes it just helps to say this again. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you so deep. Lord Jesus, I hand you the keys of my life right now. I've made quite a mess of things. And I recognize that you are beautiful. You died for me in agony and rose to death from death in purity. To come to me and give me your beauty and your peace. So come, Lord Jesus. Come and live in me. Come and live in me. I realize playing and doing church is not what you died for. You died to save me from my sin. I surrender my sin, my nature of Adam and sin at the foot of the cross right now. To be sure, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Be my beautiful, loving, challenging walk with Savior. From this day forth, onto heaven's path, I will walk with you. In Jesus' name. If you're here as well and you just need healing in your body, would you just come if you need healing? Don't worry. And amazing. If you'd like to be fired up for evangelism, you can't kind of take my evangelistic gift. It's mine. But what I can do is pray for you to be encouraged in evangelism. And I've seen that happen. Amen. And a guy came down from Andy Womack Bible College. I teach their students. And he said, I'm an architect. I said, what do you build? And we're standing by the Millennium Stadium out of the hotel. He said, I built that roof. A man on tens of thousands of pounds a year
But he said, Dave, I've never led a person to Jesus yet. And after two mornings teaching, two immediately wash and go, teach, go do it. He came out on the street, comes running down the Queen Street in the middle of the crowd. He said, Dave, I've just led my first soul to Jesus. Amen. If you've not led a soul to Jesus, you'd like to, would you come? Can I pray with you? I have the privilege of doing this. My privilege. If you want to, you have led people to Jesus, but you want to go further, just come in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's just awesome. Amen. I don't know if we can have some quiet music or something. I mean, just for a few minutes. I know it's probably late. I have no idea. Years ago, I was preaching to a girl. And as I was preaching to a girl, I just went home. And the Lord said, where are you going? And I said, I'm going home. I'm hungry. And he said, never do that again. Never put a meal before finishing the gospel. Amen. And our purpose must be for the gospel. If you need prayer, just come. Just very quiet. We probably don't need a full band. I don't know what you do, but amen.